It's 201 Janet King Commercial Cleaning has your franchise wedding call, 916-364-9800 today. Melanie so kindly pointed out on Twitter, doesn't Damien have to work one more day to make it a full year for him?
Oh,
that's funny.
That's good inside knowledge.
Oh,
that is the tweet of the day.
Did we get credit for working
on that day?
You were here. Well, I was here.
You were here, too. We had a few more minutes, like three.
All right, I'll stick around till 3:30. Oh, no, I won't. Oh, yeah, so they're broadcasting at the arena. There's a game tonight.
Yeah.
There's a Kings game tonight.
Yeah.
So,
oh, by the way.
So you very well may be here till 3:30.
Yeah. That is very true. That is very true. More inside stuff there. We're happy to be joined by Drew Davidson, especially on short notice. Drew, we appreciate it. He's of the Fort Worth Telegram. Out in Texas, Drew. What's the vibe about the Tony Romo? Now, I guess that should be the first question, Drew. Did Tony Romo retire today, or did he step away from football?
I think he stepped away from football. Certainly, the Cowboys officially released him, so he is technically a free agent. But, of course, he's announced that he will be joining CBS as their lead analyst alongside Jim Nantz. So, I think it's pretty much a permanent thing. I mean, this is a guy who has a third kid on the way. He's made more than $100 million. I mean, he's set financially. And quite frankly, I mean, no one knows if he can withstand a full football season. He's broken bones three of the last five games behind what's widely considered the best offensive line. So I don't see him coming back. I think officially, to be correct, I think, stepped away, walking away. It's probably more accurate than retired, but I don't see him playing football again.
So if we did play Fantasyland then, Drew, what scenario could you possibly even envision that would get him back on the field?
I mean, if Dak Prescott has a season-ending injury and the Cowboys, really persuade him and pursue him, but even then, I don't know if, you know, I mean, I think Tony's probably at a point where the number one analyst job doesn't come up very often, and clearly Troy Aikman's not, you know, going to leave Fox Sports anytime soon. So it's certainly hard, you know, to think, you know, this opportunity would arise. But I think that's the only scenario, and even then I think it's more likely than not he stays in the broadcast booth.
You know, do you have any knowledge or any perspective or any opinion on how Tony's going to do in the booth? Because I'm not quite sure. I don't see anything in his personality or the way that he talks that says he's going to be outgoing and compelling and have any energy. What do you think?
Well, I think he's a very smart football mind. I think he's a very analytical football mind. I think he clearly knows the sport as well as anyone. But with that being said, I'm kind of with you. And I started covering the team in 2014, so I didn't really see Romo how he was as an undrafted free agent. You know, he was already a celebrity, so to speak, when I got on the beat, and very, you know, kind of the PC, stereotypical, cliche type answers you'd expect every time we talked with him. But with that being said, a lot of people, you know, compare him kind of to Troy Aikman, and Troy Aikman was very similar in terms of how he handled press conferences and things like that. And, you know, he's turned out to be a very good football analyst, in my opinion. So I think Tony has a chance to become very good. But, you know, I think, you know, this is, you know, I think CBS, it's kind of a roll of the dice, just, you know, kind of how people view Romo's career. It's either great or awful, depending where you fall on the spectrum. And I think his broadcasting career has a chance to be very polarizing as well.
Drew Davidson of the Star Telegram with us here on the Lowdown. Drew, did or how much did Jerry Jones have any influence on what ultimately happened with Tony Romo today?
Jerry's known, you know, kind of all along. He's him and Tony Romo are very close. He understood the situation, and Tony held no animosity toward Jerry for kind of holding him, quote unquote, hostage during this free agency period. It kind of gave Tony some time to reflect back and really figure out what he wanted to do with the next step in his career. And clearly broadcasting and CBS made him too good of an offer compared to, you know, maybe going to chase a Super Bowl with the Broncos or the Texans or, you know, reworking a deal and being the Cowboys' backup quarterback. So, I mean, he's going from one spotlight to the next. I mean, being the lead number one NFL analyst, high-profile job just like quarterbacking the Cowboys.
You know, Drew, something else we debated earlier on the show about him was his Hall of Fame credentials. Do you think of him as a Hall of Fame quarterback?
No, I don't see him as a Hall of Fame quarterback, and that's certainly not a knock on Tony in terms of stats. I thought he was a great quarterback and certainly exceeded expectations, especially for an undrafted free agent. But, you know, when you look at the playoff wins, they just simply weren't there. I mean, he never got to the Super Bowl, never got to an NFC Championship game, and I think you also look and his best season was 2014. The Cowboys kind of took the ball out of his hands and put him into DeMarco Murray. So, again, and we're talking about the Hall of Fame. I'm not, you know, those are kind of the nitpick knocks that I think put Tony Romo just a couple notches below the Hall of Fame. But certainly a quarterback, you know, one of the greats in Cowboys history. Clearly not Aikman or Staubach level, but certainly not far behind them.
Hey, what's the situation with the backups there now? Because I remember everyone was talking, hey, Tony Romo would be the best, you know, emergency backup situation. You keep the backup quarterback in case things go wrong with Dakota. What is the backup situation now?
Well, right now the Cowboys, obviously Dak's the starter, and Kellen Moore, they re-signed him to a one-year deal, paid him less than $1 million. Scott Linehan loves Kellen Moore. The Cowboys offensive coordinator thinks, you know, Kellen Moore can be a successful backup. So the Cowboys right now are going to ride with Kellen Moore. Mark Sanchez left during free agency. And so Kellen Moore, you know, was injured last year. He actually went into training camp as Romo's backup and then got injured. And that's kind of how Dak emerged and really kind of solidified himself as the Cowboys' starting quarterback going forward. But right now it's Kellen Moore, and I wouldn't be surprised if they draft another developmental-type quarterback, you know, in a late round this upcoming draft and kind of have him come in as a number three and maybe compete with Kellen.
Cowboy fans across the nation mourning the loss of Mark Sanchez today as a new Chicago Bears quarterback. Drew Davidson with us here on the lowdown. Now, in seriousness, we talking about how Tony Romo was kind of the thing that were holding up the quarterback dominoes, you know, based on the looks he was getting from Houston and Denver. A lot of us think Denver is going to kind of stand with what they have, but how does Romo now being out of the mix affect guys like Colin Kaepernick and Jay Cutler and the remaining quarterbacks on the market?
Well, I think it just raises their stock even more. I think if you're looking for a quarterback, certainly the Texans are. And Romo, you know, was going to be their number one target. I mean, the most proven veteran quarterback that was going to hit the market, and now he's not going to hit the market. You know, he's on the market, but it's not available. So I think, you know, they're going to have to look hard at Jay Cutler. They're going to look hard at Colin Kaepernick. And then I think, you know, I think the Texans are really big fans of Patrick Mahomes, the Texas Tech quarterback. I would not be surprised if they maybe try and trade up or hope he slips to them in the draft. But I certainly think the Texans are now, you know, strong favorites to take a quarterback in the opening round.
Okay, hey, Drew, we're going to wrap this up. But look, this is not a football question, so I need you to clear your mind of all the football stats and information that you have.
Oh, Lord.
No, it's easy. Do you live in Fort Worth?
Yes, sir.
And you've been there since 2014?
Yes.
Okay, so tomorrow I have a separate show that we do on television, and I'm doing a segment about single places for men to visit on a vacation. And this list that I have says that Fort Worth is now the number one destination in Texas aside from Austin. So I need to ask somebody who's in Fort Worth, is it fun, and is it fun for single men to come visit?
Oh, absolutely. I think all my buddies love it, you know, whether – got a great bar scene, and I certainly think if you're going to come to the Metroplex, Fort Worth is you'll have a better time in Fort Worth than Dallas. Better barbecue, better restaurants, better bars. Great golf down here. Golf's your thing. So certainly a good play. And, of course, very, very attractive women roaming the streets down here. So,
all right.
Yeah, so I would not argue with that. You know, myself being a single guy, it's treated me well so far.
Awesome.
No wonder Tony Romo didn't want to leave.
That's right.
That's just what I needed to hear. Thank you so much, Drew. Appreciate it.
Drew, man, thanks for squeezing us in, man, especially last minute. We really, really appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. And I know you guys gave me a little bit of grief for the Mark Sanchez comment, but let's make it. You can make a case that there's not 32 good quarterbacks. And Mark Sanchez, you know, is about the best backup the Cowboys could have found last year.
Oh, no, yeah, I wasn't giving you grief at all. I just recalled the game that he played, and I don't think Cowboy fans are sad that he's gone. We're just praying Kellen Moore's ankle holds up.
Or
if anything happens to Dak, it just happens to be against an AFC team when Romo is in the booth and Jerry can just get on the bat phone and he'll rip off his suit. Yeah, number 9 under there and run down to the field. Again, Drew, man, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Drew, it's like, I'm never going on that damn show again. I swear, these guys are idiots. Unbelievable. Drew Davidson of the Star Telegram. You can give him a follow at Drew Davidson on Twitter. Fun guy to always have on. Had him on a lot during the NFL season, both here on this show and on game day as well.
We had him on this show? During the football season? You only had him on your show on Sundays.
No, we had him on this show, too.
I wasn't here.
Maybe you weren't.
I don't think I was here. I've never spoken to that guy. Never heard his voice.
So you have 12 weeks of vacation, so it's hard to tell. Sometimes we're not sure.
I'm the only guy that I don't take any vacation in the summer. Like, I get all my vacation in the spring, and then I bust my butt through the summer, and then I take a vacation again in the fall.
Which is the anti-sports thing. You're supposed to take a break during the summer. Poor Jason can't take a break from, August to April.
Yeah, but I get my time in after that.
You get your in, indeed.
He takes his breaks 8 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
What was funny about talking to Drew, what was interesting talking about Drew is it's still totally, he's not retiring. The word is being thrown around too much. It's not being reported correctly. Tony Romo didn't retire. When you retire, you fill out paperwork. He's not retiring. He's just not going to be under an NFL contract this year. He's going to be under a CBS contract that, by the way, allows him to leave football and go play for a team should it be a situation he decides works for him.
So at what point will he sign that paperwork? I mean, there's no need to. There's no rush to. But maybe after this year, if he makes a full year, enjoys broadcasting, his golf time, whatever else, family time, then can he file it? Or I guess.
My guess.
Yeah.
And then does...
You could still file it and come back, by the way.
Oh, yeah, true.
But...
How does that work? Because retirement in real life, that means that now you start to collect your pension or your 401k, that kind of stuff starts coming in because you have retired. Does that happen the same way for these athletes? Does their NFL pension kick in once they fill out those retirement papers?
That's a great question.
I would assume so, but I don't know that.
Yeah. It's a great question.
Because I don't know that they have to hit an age
to
start collecting. I wouldn't think so. I mean, most everybody's young in relative terms.
And you got to earn a living. I mean, you can't just...
Some guys are done playing football at 26,
right?
You know, and played for 4 or 5 years.
I wonder.
Call Adrian and ask.
I was going to say, we have to call. So I just saw him. We bowled together on Saturday. And we were both in a fundraiser for Big Brothers and Big Sisters. So I saw Matt Backer then.
We could either call Adrian Ross or Marshawn Lynch. We know one of them is.
one of those two will know the answer, but Adrian will know.
Yeah, because I think it's 6 years.
He played 6 years.
So I think that's the kick-in for the pension, but I'm not positive. I think they just assume most guys aren't going to make it 6 years, and if you are, then you probably, are good enough to be paid for however long in the NFL.
We'll find that out.
But again, Tony Romo hasn't retired. So, but the move to CBS is interesting. We know they had a conference call earlier
it wasn't a press conference. It was actually a conference call for CBS. Okay.
It was a call to announce his relationship with CBS, and we made the decision to not carry it live, and thank good we didn't. Chris was in the other room listening to it. He said it was far from compelling. But
what was that look he had on his face? It was like...
Like he was chewing on lemons?
Like somebody farted in there, and he couldn't get out of the room.
Ken Rudolph, ladies and gentlemen. That's Ken Rudolph there. But one thing Romo was asked, he was asked about the decision. He was asked about his relationship with Jerry Jones.
You know, when I go talk football with someone, I get very passionate, and it gets going quickly. And I think that I understand the things that can come from that. And so, obviously, I communicated with Jerry and Steven, and they were, you know, I want to say a big thank you. You know, Jerry was amazing during this. I know sometimes it didn't maybe look like it from the outside, but, you know, there were a couple times maybe we were, things got a little bit, a day or two different than what we thought, but, you know, he really was in my corner, and, you know, the stuff that he said publicly about, you know, doing me right, he really did. And I really, I've never had a better boss, you know, owner, mentor, you know, than Jerry Jones. And, you know, I'd be remiss if I went through this entire conversation and never mentioned how much he's meant to me and how much he'll mean to me going forward, because he'll always be in my life, and I think I'll always be in his.
Well, that was nice.
How much does that 1 minute, that 60-second clip, get you excited to hear him call a game?
I wasn't going to say anything.
That's all I was thinking.
I've already made my point.
I was like, thinking the same thing.
I already made my point. I wasn't going to say anything.
Tony, you probably should have livened up a little bit, bud. No?
Which is interesting, though, because I know we referenced Aikman earlier. I don't know that he's this total in-your-face outgoing, but you just listen to him and you go, yeah, he's telling me something.
But even, like, I had Troy Aikman in a satellite. I want to say it was 2 years ago on television side.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, on the satellites, you can't see me, of course, but we were still having a discussion, and he was very engaging. Like, he was doing something for, it was a benefit for to get people aware of cancers. And we were talking about, and I mentioned to him, because I didn't know what he was talking about. And I was like, hey, you know, when I grew up, I didn't like the Cowboys, but every time I saw you, you were like a golden sun-kissed god every time I saw you. Was this part of what happened? And he understood what I was saying. He was very receptive and funny and great, and he was great in the satellite. We made jokes about, you know, I told him, I was like, if Joe Montana didn't get hurt, you would never have won a Super Bowl. He's like, you're probably right.
Mm.
But he was great. And so people talk about how he wasn't that way as a player. But maybe it's because players start to realize, okay, I don't have that pressure anymore. I don't have that responsibility, that obligation to answer all these questions as to what's going on. Not only on the field, but he also has to answer, why is Michael Irvin doing this off the field?
Right.
So you get to a point where you're like, I don't want to answer that. I don't know how to answer that. But then once you get away from that, and all we want to do is hear the thing you know the best.
Yeah.
Is football. And I think then guys can open up a little bit more. So maybe over time that will help Tony in the same way it helped Troy.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when you're the athlete, you're, I don't know if you're conditioned, but you will protect yourself. You'll protect your teammates. You won't say as much about that kind of stuff. Now, all of a sudden, I don't really have ties to them. I don't need to throw them under the bus, but I'll tell some stories. I'll tell some things that I know, and that, I think, is when you can become more engaging to the public.
Yeah, more accessible.
Yeah.
CBS appears to have no idea. I was kind of fishing out as you guys were talking, what's going to happen to Phil Simms? And I quickly came across to our buddy Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk. They have no clue. They didn't announce anything regarding Phil Simms today. I don't think they know what they're going to do with him.
See what I'm saying?
Now just bumping him down?
Now, let's be clear. I don't know that they're doing that. Remember, Tony Gonzalez left that pregame show. So there is a studio slot open if he wants to. He's under contract. He's going to get paid no matter what.
The Showtime version, right? So he's already got a studio gig.
He can have another one.
Right. I didn't know if they wanted those to be separate. Or
yeah, but does Tony get that? Does Tony get the Showtime gig now? Because that's CBS.
That's true. Yeah, I don't. So I thought Tony was just leaving.
Yeah, I thought that's what he was doing too.
No, I'm sorry, not Tony Gonzalez. I meant Tony Romo. Oh, does Tony Romo? Romo does Tony Romo get that?
In addition to
does
the
he
games.
Just take Phil Simms' place on
You'd
the
like
on
to
that
think
show?
That they would, right? I'd like to think so because I don't know just give him more chance to get out there. And
we talked about this a few weeks back. We even said that Tony Romo was thought of as a potential replacement. And we all looked at it as it was posturing. It was posturing by whether it was Tony's CAA agent, Tony's football agent, whoever it may be. We just thought, oh, it's just another a play in the game here between Tony Romo, Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, all of that. Obviously, the conversation had been had. I'm not sure that anyone had a conversation with Phil.
That's the bad
That's
part.
That's what I was saying before. Yeah. It's like, wow, all this stuff's thought of way in advance. You're going to let this guy find out he got fired on Twitter? Like, come on.
Well, he wasn't fired.
Well, you know what? Replaced.
Well, if he was, yeah, and if he doesn't know where he's landing, it's like, yeah, we're going to keep you, but doing what? If he's not moved to another announced team, what is he doing?
And then if you're telling me that
he doesn't tweet very often, so I tried to see if there was something up there. There's not.
And if you're telling me that CBS is gauging how they're going to move people around based upon Twitter reaction to how your broadcaster is received.
Oh, I don't think that's the case.
Okay.
I don't think that's the case at all. I think maybe this opportunity came about and they didn't know if it was going to happen or not. They being CBS, CBS may have not have known. Do you call someone and say, hey, we might move you? Like, we're not sure yet. Like, hey, guys, we might move you because we think Jim Rome wants to work at 12 instead of 9. So we might move you to 9, but we don't know yet.
Right.
So hang tight. Like, do you do that?
Hmm.
I don't think so.
So what do you do in that situation where there are rumors out there floating around that Tony Romo is going to replace Phil Sims? And then suddenly, I mean, we had that conversation. I think it was a week ago, maybe 2 weeks at the most. Okay, now we got to make it a reality. Now it's, okay, Tony Romo's, you wake up, you know, at 5, Tony Romo's being released today. He's going to be a broadcaster. Okay, cool. Tony Romo's released. Wait a minute, he signed with CBS. Okay, cool. All right, it's all falling into place. Oh, wait a minute, now he's replacing Phil Sims this year.
Like, my thing is,
like,
they didn't
it
have
all
to go
happened
that far.
Really fast.
They could have just been like, we have a new member of our team. Like,
and
I said, they didn't
him.
Have to go all the way to, he's going to replace Phil Sims. And then it's like, you guys are way ahead of yourself. Slow down.
But the question would be, what are you going to do? Wouldn't that be the first question? What's going to be your role with CBS? Wouldn't that have been the first question on the 60-minute conference call they just had?
Yep. You know what they should, well, not should do. I can't say should do. I feel like it might be a decent idea. Put him in the booth with Troy.
So that different networks.
Oh, that's Fox. That's right. Sorry. Then he has to go over there then.
He's just got to go to Fox
because
now?
Because I feel like he needs to be in a situation.
We got to orchestrate a trade?
Yes, where he can be comfortable. And I feel like he'd be very comfortable with Troy.
He's the backup there again.
They would have that combination of work Dallas Cowboy quarterbacks. We know how to talk.
And, America does not want more Dallas Cowboy quarterbacks in the booth.
You'd be surprised what America wants.
I wouldn't, but...
But, I mean, I feel like you have to put people in position to succeed. And I don't think that they're going to put him in the position to succeed by giving him 6 months.
But you're giving him Jim Nantz,
though. To get ready to go with Jim Nantz.
I feel like that's enough. Like, you're working with Jim Nantz.
Jim Nantz doesn't know football.
He doesn't have to. Jim Nantz has a velvety voice that'll get you through anything.
No, Nantz is awesome, but he still is not going to be able to tell you what's happening with that blitz. He's still not going to be able to tell me why they're doing this on 2nd-and-7. That's what the analyst is supposed to be doing. And so I'm not sure if Tony's going to be ready in 6 months to carry an entire football game.
We'll come back with more of the lowdown next. Y'all are taking advantage of my emotion. Chris is loving this. I think this is Chris's favorite day.
I think so.
Time? 2:32. Janet King Cleaning, franchise ownership is a reality. Be your own boss. Call 916-364-9800. We should have made it a contest. You name all the bumper music that Chris played today. We'll give you one of those video games.
Chris, you're leaving out one really important song that I hope you're going to use when
There's
we come
one
back
left.
From the next break. Please tell me.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Please tell me it's going to be with the initials MB.
All right. He'll be thinking about it.
No, that's not what I was thinking
I'm
going
to have to go in there and help you out. What do you think?
I don't want to say. I'll say it at the end. We'll say it when the show's over, what I thought the final song would be.
Okay.
We'll say at when we kick off our final segment. J. Ross, should we actually have news today?
This is awesome news. All right, say good listening and good helping for us. Otis Amey, former Hornet, great
from Sac State, yeah.
Former NFL players listening to the show, and he's always listens, by the way, which is really cool. He said 3 years and three games to qualify for pension.
Really?
45 is when you get your 401k. Pension is at 55.
You have to wait that long?
That's what he says.
So I guess it doesn't really matter.
Pension is $470 a month for each year played. No idea how they came up with that formula of the 3 years, three months.
That means you got to go
3 years,
get a job.
3 years, 3 games, excuse me.
$470 a month?
Per year. Per year you
for
played.
For each year played.
Oh, for each year you played. Okay, gotcha.
No idea how they came up with that formula. Thank you, Otis.
Thanks, Otis. Yeah.
Great Hornet, played for the Niners. Return a punt, first time he touched the ball in the NFL for a touchdown.
Yeah. I mean, who hasn't done that, though?
Yeah, you know.
You got to love that, though. That's awesome.
Thanks, Otis. That's random. Like, where else?
I don't know
so
how
random.
They came up with that, but at least he gave us some insight on that.
Hey, with the voting, with the NBA regular season coming to an end here very, very soon, it was announced yesterday or reported or whatever it may be, local television and radio announcers are no longer going to be allowed to vote on NBA awards. That's going to shrink
like
the pool quite a bit. Why not? Because it's been a problem. I don't want to say it's been a problem. That's not a fair word to say. But it's been a contentious argument in the past that local employees should not be allowed to vote on these NBA awards.
Because of what?
Because they'll vote for their own players and that. Is that what the issue was?
That, or perhaps my argument has always been, and look, nobody, even the great Sam Amick, who will be with us tomorrow, he can't see everything, right? Like he focuses mostly on the West. He knows if, like, when we asked him about Philadelphia, he knew all about Philadelphia because it was something to watch. He has a partner, you know, Jeff Ziglett, who covers the East a lot. So it's hard to watch everything.
Yeah.
But when you're a team employee, you're seeing a whole lot of your team. Now, granted, you're going places. You're going to see every team once.
Right.
But you're not going to see them in the same way that national writers are.
Yeah. I think a lot of times we always say it out here, the West Coast bias, where the East Coast teams don't see it. Well, it does work the other way a little bit. I mean, how much time are people out here spending watching the Orlando Magic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not.
None.
So
unless they're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right. No, but if they have that guy that's on the bubble for Rookie of the Year or MVP or some sort of MVP is probably not the one because those guys are usually high profile teams that are getting that attention. But if it's for fear of voting for your own player, wouldn't that balance out that if everybody is technically voting for their own guys, then everybody's
but
voting
for
their
own every
guys.
Team employee, not every team radio announcer or television announcer has a vote.
Right. I always knew they split up. Like Grant had, let's say, three of the categories and G-Man had the other. Like they wouldn't get all of them for Grant or all of them for Gary. You know, G-Man might have had six-man coach and MVP, and Grant might have had defensive player of the year, you know, whatever, splitting them up. So it wasn't that not one guy got every vote or got to vote on everything, excuse me.
It's interesting.
Got it. So that one guy didn't have all of the.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
That's the way I remember them talking about it the last few years.
And then they're all
and shrinking the pool. Yeah. Is that better though? I mean, to have less overall votes is that?
I don't know if I like that.
Well, if you're eliminating voters, which you are with local television and radio announcers, they didn't add more,
right?
So it's naturally going to get smaller, right?
Yeah. But it reminds me a little bit of the NBA Finals 2 years ago when Iguodala won the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the final votes, and I'm going to butcher the numbers, but I want to say it was something like 5 votes for Iguodala, 4 for LeBron, and 4 or 3 for Curry, something like that. And I went, there's every single person in the media there.
Mm-hmm.
Why were there 12 votes for the Finals MVP? That seemed really low. I mean, it was 5 to 4 to 3, something like that. And I went, there's probably 500 media members there. You don't need to have all 500, but you could have 200 vote for the MVP of the finals.
And is it random where you don't know which media member has the vote?
We knew then. It was all displayed. And I think it's very transparent. I think you'll... So if you're the local guy that's voting for your team, you'll get exposed.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if the players know that you're the guy that holds the vote, are they nicer to you? Does that make sense?
No, because I don't think it's a like secrecy thing. It's not like the Heisman,
right? Oh, yeah.
The Heisman. Now I guess that you know when someone has a Heisman vote, though. So I guess that's what you're asking is, do they know who the voters are?
Exactly.
Yeah, I feel like they do. I don't think that's a secret.
Right.
Bobby Gerald just tweeted us. It's the in-house conflict.
Yeah.
As in, I mean, if you don't vote for that player, when he sees you in that house, is it going to be an
issue? It's going to be conflict.
Thank you. It's going to be a conflict.
Well, I mean, we did have a guy here in DeMarcus that, you know, was loud or vocal. Could be. So if you were someone that didn't vote for him, would that make it weird?
Yes.
Between those two?
Yeah. Sure, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Because teams push somebody. Mm-hmm. They have marketing camp. We had Sam on last week.
Yeah.
And he even joked. He said Oklahoma City.
They're
not
messing around.
Yeah. He said Oklahoma City PR is they're working with you, D. They're working hard on getting Russ the MVP. That's what they do. They have last year we were in Connecticut. The Connecticut Sun were they were pushing someone for MVP, sixth woman of the year, the sportsmanship award. They had specific people they were pushing for each of them.
Yeah, the in-house conflict. I went to the player. I even go to the organization. So if I'm asked to read in a Kings radio broadcast, vote DeMarcus Cousins for All-Star game, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then if literally it was media voting and I didn't vote for him, but you're telling everybody on the radio to vote for him and you didn't and you watch him every day, that could be a little bit of
hypocrite.
Yeah. An issue. We're just with management, like, hey, come on, help us out here. We're telling you to do it and you don't even do it? That'd be interesting. That could be the in-house conflict, besides just the player, too.
Just the player. That would be enough, I think.
Yeah. There's all sorts of in-house conflict, which is probably why it's best to eliminate this. But there is a trade-off, because there are a lot of national reporters, and I think you said this to start the thing, they're not watching out here.
No.
Right? Even teams with the historic significance of, like, the Lakers. You're not watching the Lakers.
Right.
Like, regularly, because it's 10:30 when they start. Sacramento Kings now are 10:30. Starts. You're not watching those teams.
Yeah.
And whereas play-by-play guys, television announcers, whoever it may be, they're at least getting a chance to see them and be around them once, two, three, four times a year, depending on who it is.
What about officials? Should they be allowed to vote?
I would have never thought of them, but they see everything.
They see everything.
No, no. No, same thing Bobby Gerald said right there. In-house conflict.
How's that?
Oh, well, because if you give someone a call that's a little shady and you find out, oh, you voted Bron MVP, huh?
That one would have to be secret.
That would have to be secret.
So you have the 100 national media members and the 5 secret officials. Or 10 secret officials or whatever.
The senior officials, because there's a head official
number
for
one.
Every single crew, right? Mm-hmm. So the head official for every single crew.
Nah, because then you'll have sleuths out there trying to, like, to, you know, he never calls a foul on James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
James Harden won the MVP by one vote.
Got it by all those refs.
Secret official.
Yeah.
Then you got people breaking down film.
Yeah.
Of referees.
Right, exactly. Just like, oh, watch, see.
Yeah.
He winked at him.
Yeah.
He winked at him right there as he went down the court. No, that doesn't count.
No, that's right.
It's 2:41. Time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
Bobby is saying the actual in-house broadcast team is paid by the team. How can you? It's difficult to separate the two. I think is to say what Bobby is relay what Bobby is saying. What's the final song Chris is going to get us out of here with? We'll all find out together. Plus, Kings and Mavericks play tonight. That's next on the Lowdown. I thought you were going to sing. What are you doing?
I don't want to mess it up for Michael Bolton.
That's not what I thought.
Listen to the lyrics. This is for you.
Yes, I understand. You guys are jerks.
This is for you. Listen now.
So tell me all about it. Tell me about the plans you're making.
I'm going to CBS. You guys are the biggest jerks I've ever met.
That was customized lyrics from Michael Bolton.
Yes.
That was awesome. Thank you, Chris. That was a beautiful pick, brother.
Just for you and Tony.
Come on. I could hardly believe it when I heard the news today. I had to come and get it straight from you. Come on. Tell me about the plans you're making. Come on. That's perfect.
Perfect.
I actually thought this is where I thought you were going. This is the one I thought you were we're going to hit. And you
know. End of the road?
Yeah. I know this is where we were going. Why do you play? All right. Fun with the songs are over. It's a great song, by the way. That's how we feel during playoff games. Why do you play with my heart, Tony? Why do you play with my mind?
Oh, man. That was awesome. Ah, oh, Tony.
It's my quarterback.
He's going to be fine. He's going to be. But I really am worried about how if he's going to be.
Me? Are you really worried about me?
No, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You're going to fall in love with Kellen, and you're going to be just fine.
Oh.
But I'm worried about the man's energy and everything. So
what do you mean?
I'm talking about Tony's, like his energy in the broadcast and being compelling and being engaging. So we'll see if that works out.
I think he's going to be on the golf tour. I really do.
He might be better suited for that.
Well.
At some point. Senior.
Yeah, perhaps. Senior golf tour?
Maybe. I mean, he's, like I said before, he tried to qualify for the U.S. Open. He is really, really good.
The other day, he was seven. Was he seven over?
Probably.
I think it was seven over par.
I mean, he's not. Yeah. There is a gap still. Yeah. I mean, there's these guys have been doing it forever, but he's really good. And if he put a lot of more time in it, never know.
This doesn't excite you?
You know, when I go talk football with someone, I get very passionate and it gets going quickly. And I think that. I understand the things that can come from that. And so,
you know who he sounded like there, but without the little southern lilt that he has in his voice? Sounded like Derek Carr to me. Because Derek Carr talks kind of fast, but he's got the southern, a little bit of a southern.
The tempo slowed. So he sounds like Derek Carr with the tempo slowed down?
No, because he kind of rushed those words together a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, he slows down. I mean? He slows down.
Yeah, there were a couple times when maybe we were things got a little bit day or two different than what we thought, but
there we go.
Yeah,
that excited the text line when we played that the first time.
They're oh my god, no!
Oh
see,
man,
he's going to have to do, and I'm sure they're going to point him in the right direction.
But. That was a conference call. He was probably sitting in an empty room somewhere. That's not indicative of what he is in his mind.
Okay, I need to start transitioning into broadcast mode where my words are the most important thing that I have. So I need to start slowing down my rate of speech, enunciate everything as best I can, so today would have been the day for him to at least try to put that foot forward. So he's going to have to start training to do that, and it's not easy. In my social settings, I'm a very fast talker. If I get mad, the words come out at about 150 miles an hour. That used to be how I was all the time. I had to condition myself for the past 15 years to slow everything down so that when I'm speaking, everything is coming out the way that I want it to. It's not easy to do. So I don't know how he's going to make that adjustment in 6 months.
Yeah. Jim Nantz, save the day.
Yeah, right?
Hello, friends.
Kings and Mavericks play tonight, or do they?
Let's see.
Is anybody playing?
We've got a 3-on-3 tournament of the guys not playing. So who do you like in this? Aflalo, Tolliver, Kufis versus Dirk, Seth Curry, Wesley Matthews.
Ooh,
Dallas.
Dallas is going to run them,
So Dallas
half court, right?
Half court, winners outs. Dallas wins the 3-on-3.
Yeah, just Dirk. Yeah. You can't bet against
Kings
Dirk.
Kings may win the 5-on-5, though. The game that...
The one that matters?
So they'll put a win and a loss.
Can we watch the 3-on-3 game instead?
We might need to, yeah.
What if you... Okay, if you put the 5-on-5, you know, the regulated game that the NBA is going to make them play on the main court... Same building, practice facility right below.
Ooh, yeah.
3-on-3, half court. Yeah. Everybody get a nice little sweat.
But everybody's going to go watch the hat.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant. You put the TV camera down there.
Oh, okay.
Once it got here in the building.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's true.
You're in the building.
I think I'd watch a 3-on-3.
Right.
Get Doug down there to call it a 3-on-3 game.
Sure,
that'd be great.
So you say Dirk is resting.
Dirk, Seth Curry, which is a bummer. I kind of want to see Seth come back.
Why is Seth resting?
I think I don't know if it's rest or honestly ailments, but those guys are.
Oh, okay.
And Wesley Matthews.
Now, Dirk, I can understand because it's Dirk, but Seth, you've got zero reason to be resting.
Well, no one has. Neither of these teams have a reason to be resting unless they're hurt. Their season's going to be over in a week.
Well, Dirk's got miles on him. I get it.
Well, fine. That's why Dirk, fine.
Yeah, but the other two.
Give me a break. Like, the season's over in a week. Like, you guys can rest in a week.
I think it's injury related, but I don't know how serious. I mean, again, if they're trying for the playoffs, now if they were available, I think they would have been playing.
Aflalo played the other day, right?
He did, and I heard Jaeger briefly on with Grant and Doug yesterday saying that actually that he kind of tweaked some things playing in that game. He played really well, so they're resting him.
So was, he played the Minnesota game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I might not. Was he wasn't out because he was hurt, though.
It was for personal reasons. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
He is lower back strain.
Oh.
And Tolliver is right hip strain. Ooh. Kufis is rest.
He just rested the other night.
He hasn't played in a while.
He needs a lot of rest.
All right.
At off season, it's just not enough.
All right. All right.
But he's the one veteran that if he played, he literally is taking minutes from Papianis, Willie, Scal, in some combination.
Correct.
That's where if the Kings had a rookie point guard, Collison would be resting more, or Lawson would, but they don't.
Had one. His name was Isaiah Cousins.
That's true.
Do you have to, like, sit guy? Can you just not play him?
I guess so.
I mean, you tell them, obviously. Yeah. You tell a guy like Kostakouvis, hey, we're probably not going to play you today. But do you have to announce that they're not playing? Is that a league rule? I mean, obviously, there are guys that don't play.
Well, they're following, right? Isn't that what Silver, I mean, this is different. Nobody's not coming to the game because of this, but
I guess the difference is, as I said that out loud, maybe they don't have to go through warm-ups if they're not playing.
Yeah.
And isn't it also respect for the veteran to say, I'm going to tell you and I'm going to announce that you're resting, not you're just sitting over there on the end of the bench and everyone's like, hey, why isn't that guy going in?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
At this point of the season, is anybody wondering that? Because we're talking about now. We're not talking about in September in November or December. We're talking about now when we know what's up. We know what Dallas is doing. We know what the Kings are doing. We know what all of these – we know what the Lakers have been doing for the last four freaking weeks.
Guess it now.
Just wondering.
Probably doesn't. Another question, excuse me, is what does it matter tonight, the outcome? Because we're dealing now with teams that are in the same vicinity as the Kings when we're talking about the draft situation.
Yeah, I think Dallas is two games better.
Okay.
32 wins and so Kings are at 30.
While we want to see the guys compete, I want them to compete all the time. Is losing better tonight?
Just depends on.
It's so funny to watch social media when the Kings win.
Right?
Because it's like more people are upset that they won. There's a sense of panic regarding the pick swaps and potential loss of picks and this year and that trade being all for nothing. Like there's a legit there's when they won that Minnesota game the other night.
Yeah,
Oh my gosh, I loved that.
Kings fans were furious
for you guys for competing.
I still say the best way, and we always talk about this term, is culture. Changing the culture,
win.
Just keep winning.
Yeah, how we miss this? Thank God for our Tex Nation researchers on top of everything. Announcing who's not playing probably has to do with betting. And you know what? That's probably 1,000% accurate.
I think they're
it
right.
It probably has to do with betting.
And daily fantasy, those kind of things.
Because when it all comes down to it, it almost always has to do with betting.
You're right.
Money.
Thanks for being with us. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, our producer, Chris Verlaine.
Hold me. No. Oh, that hurts.
It's 2:57, time for Hot Tub of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. Hot Tubs of Sacramento.com.
This is for you, Tony. You'll always be my quarterback. My number nine. It's my quarterback.
Number nine on the jersey. Number one in your heart.